Welcome to the Sport and Rate Podcast. I'm your host, Colm Means, and today's guest is JR Sport Brief, a YouTube sensation who is currently the most subscribed individual sports figure on YouTube. He's really developed a committed fan base, and he has graced the Sport and Rate Podcast with his presence today.
Basically, JR Sport Brief is a show that I started around a little more than a year ago. I would have to say March of last year. I have a background in television production. I've worked in radio. I've worked in music. And I was working on an MTV show called Man and Wife, as in my phone always goes off. I was working on a show called Man and Wife that aired on MTV and is still online. And I was the online producer for that show as well as a producer on the TV side. And it was suggested to me in a meeting for Man and Wife. That day I had on a New York Mets shirt. I had on a New York Mets hat. And there's a dude by the name of Fred Seibert. And he helped brand MTV almost 20 years ago. He has a bunch of shows online. He was working on an online stable of shows called Next New Networks. And just because of what I had on, he suggested to me, he said, why don't you start, you know, a sports blog and see where it goes? And that first day, after that same day I spoke with him, I went home and I did a video on Gary Sheffield, and it got a few hundred views. And from that moment, I knew that, you know, this was something I could do on a full-time basis. And it's especially different for me, being the fact that I've always worked with talent. I've always been behind the camera. And it was a little different for me now, you know, to have the camera in front of me. But at the same time, it's worked to my advantage, because I'm the same dude on camera as I am off. So everything's really worked out.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, with YouTube and stuff, it's really great you have that opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, nowadays the thing is, you know what, anybody from the guy on the corner, you know, to the richest person on the planet can put videos up. And I mean, if you can distribute content and put things up that people care about, you don't need a huge budget. You don't need lots of equipment. You don't really need anything but yourself and a camera, and you can run from there. That's what's amazing.
Yeah, it is. It's awesome. Saturday night, Manny Pacquiao, Antonio Margarito boxing match. I know you did a video on that. So.
Oh man, listen, Manny Pacquiao killed that guy. You know what? I have people are asking me if Manny Pacquiao is the greatest guy of all time, and I tell people, listen, like, I'm not Burt Sugar. I haven't seen no more than 24, 25 years of boxing in my life. So it's like, listen, if you want to break it down, Manny Pacquiao is one of the greatest guys I've ever seen. I would have to say he's one of the best, or one of the best, outside of the heavyweights that I've seen. I mean, he's over here beating up guys that are 4 or 5 inches taller than him and outweigh him by, like, what, 20 pounds. I mean, this guy is amazing. And now hopefully everybody can see the fight that all boxing fans want to see, and I think casual sports fans want to see, and him taking on Floyd Mayweather, because he beat the living hell out of Margarito, and he eased up on him. He could have killed that guy in there.
Yeah, I think right now, I mean, you know, Mayweather, I'd say, is the more popular guy, you know, if you go to, I mean, even casual sports fans and all that.
Mayweather, you know, he's been away, and he hasn't fought since earlier this year, and prior to fighting Mosley earlier this year, it's been a while since last year, so I'm going to hold off on predictions until these guys actually you know what, just say, listen, we're going to fight, and we're going to fight on or May, whatever, and go from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, either way, hopefully it will happen, because it's almost happened multiple times, so you think eventually it'll get done.
You would think so. I think this is kind of like the last stand for it. You know, it's like there really isn't anything else that really has to be done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Well, JR, I know you're a big Jets fan. Am I right?
Unfortunately.
So, all the Brett Favre stuff, you know, going on with the Vikings right now, and Jim Sturger, who was a game day host for the Jets back with Brett Favre. Now, you know, NFL is talking to Jim Sturger, or that's the plan, about Brett Favre, and now there's a rumor Dan Patrick started on his radio show that Jim Sturger is not going after Favre, but is actually going after the New York Jets for wrongful termination. Back when Brett Favre, they wanted to bring back Brett Favre before he left after 1 year. And right, they fired Jim Sturger, I guess, because, you know, rumor, speculation is they didn't want to take a chance on losing Favre by keeping her around. So that right there is wrongful termination. So, you know, she may be going after the Jets for that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know Jen Sturger personally. I don't know her from a hole in the wall. I have been around her, I mean, real quick. I mean, she's a regular young lady, if you ask me. I don't know anything about her personal life or what the hell Brett Favre is sending her or now she's pissed that she's going from the New York Jets. I do know she had a show, or she was part of a show called The Daily Line on the Versus Network that was recently canceled. But, I mean, hey, what can you do? I mean, if she needs the money, if she needs the income, she's going to do what she has to do to get it. I mean, if this was so much the case, then hey, then why don't you file this suit, if this really is the case, right after you were fired, let alone almost 2 years after the case, you know?
Yeah, I think, you know, that is, can't really argue, that is wrongful termination if they fired her for that reason. So, good for her going after that, I guess. But, yeah, I saw the Daily Line a couple times, and it wasn't all that special, so.
No, it wasn't all that special. Look, I mean, if it was that much of a big deal to her, this is something that, you know what, I'm sure would have been filed not 2 years after the fact. But listen, if she wants to go and get her money or get at the New York Jets for wrongful termination, then more power to her.
Yeah, well, you know, after all the fame she's gotten, she's going to get money, whether it be from New York Jets or Playboy. So I think either way, she's kind of set.
I think she's all well. I wouldn't say she's set unless she branches off into nothing. But I mean, I believe she's already done Playboy. But you know what? Money doesn't last forever, especially depending on how much you get.
Yeah, very true. All right. Well, going back to last night's game. Redskins-Eagles. The Eagles absolutely slaughtered the Redskins. You know, coming off Donald McNabb getting re-signed, and you know, a lot of speculation of that, but he couldn't have had a worse game last night coming off that re-signing, and then Michael Vick absolutely blowing people away, and people were saying one of the best performances in a while in the NFL. So, I mean, what's your take on Vick getting re-signed in this upcoming offseason and McNabb's recent signing?
Well, from what I've read and seen today, you know, Donovan McNabb, you know what, most contracts, especially in the NFL, they always look good on paper, but, you know, money in the NFL isn't guaranteed. You could be here today and gone tomorrow depending on what your bonus is or what it isn't. And then I saw a piece today saying that Donovan McNabb, you know what, they can cut him after next year and owe him next to nothing. I mean, $3 million as compared to $80 million is a big difference. But, I mean, Donovan McNabb, I can't really see him with the Redskins outside of what? I give him another year, depending on how this year ends, if that. I mean, Michael Vick, on the other hand, he's really solidifying himself as being back in a big part of the NFL and really leading a team. I mean, his knock before he went away and the whole dogfighting, et cetera, was – this guy is only utilizing his athletic abilities. He's not going out there and he's not Peyton Manninging anybody, or he's not Steve Younging guy. Well, Steve Young ran, but he didn't utilize his brain and his arm the way he could have. And now, you know, the guy is leading the NFL in quarterback rating, if I'm correct. I don't think he's thrown an interception. He's running for touchdowns. He's throwing the ball. And the guy hasn't even played. The guy missed, what, like 3-4 games. So he's going to be due for a payday eventually, whether it's with the Eagles. I'm sure they're thinking about it. I think they'd be stupid not to, especially if he continues his play. But Michael Vick is going to get paid.
Yeah, mentioning Steve Young, I saw that Steve Young actually said Michael Vick could very well be the best playmaker of all time in the NFL. So I think the front office is kind of need to realize, you know, everyone's looking for that pure passer quarterback, but there's guys like Vick out there that make plays as well as anyone, so those are the guys. If he proves himself, you know, finishes out the year strong, you know, a team like the Vikings may go after him, and he could be a really valuable weapon.
Right, right. Well, I mean, hey, Steve, it came out of Steve Young's mouth, so hell, who am I to question that? I mean, I'm not going to argue with Steve Young, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, yeah, last night, Michael Vick became the second all-time leading rusher in the NFL, surpassing Steve Young, so.
Yep, that is quite ridiculous, but at the same time, that's not surprising. He's a special guy. You know what? People may not like him. They may not like what he's done, but if you ask me, it's amazing that he was gone, and now he's back, and he's, I hate to use a cliche, but better than ever, if you want to say that.
Yeah, I would agree. All right, speaking of radio guys, have you heard Colin Cowherd's rant on John Wall?
Oh, man, you know what? I didn't hear anything about it until you let me know about it. I really don't listen to Colin Cowherd. I mean, I listened to him a few times a bunch of years ago. And you know what? He's not somebody I listen to. I think what he said regarding John Wall, Colin Cowherd, most guys say things just to get a reaction. And he said something to get a reaction, and he got it. If, you know what? If he's an idiot, he's an idiot. If he's really an idiot, then he's one of those too. So that's his job. There are certain guys that come on radio and are members of media that are just there to make noise. And he's one of them.
Yeah, I don't listen to Colin Cowherd either, but came across it. And you know, the first time after, I think when he did the Dougie, 30 seconds or 37 seconds, whatever it was. He had mm-hmm. 8 turnovers in that game, but he also had 9 steals, which is crazy. Obviously, Cowherd didn't bring that up. You know, Cowherd went on saying that same night, Rondo had 17 points, no turnovers. Rondo wins championships. Wall's garbage. Basically, what he said. And so then, a few nights later, Wall comes out with a triple-double. And the next day, Cowherd goes after his father. You know, he didn't really have a father figure growing up. I don't know if you heard this, but Cowherd basically said, when it comes to leadership, it's about your family and how you're raised, which is, I don't even know where he got off on that, but I don't know if you heard that or not.
I read briefly about that. You know, the guy is out there to raise hell and draw ratings and bring in advertising money as long as he doesn't scare the advertisers away. But the fact remains that guys like Colin just open their mouths to get a reaction. I mean, if they really believe half of what they're saying, then hey, well, you're dumb as hell. And if you're not, hey, you're just being ignorant and stupid regardless. So Colin Cowherd is an idiot regardless.
I'd have to agree. I think everyone would right now. But
he's a dumb.
All right, well, we're on the NBA. You know, a lot of exciting things going on early on.
What's going on that's exciting?
Right now, really, the rookies this year just been amazing. You know, Blake Griffin added that to that class right now. It's basically a two-man race as of now between John Wall and Blake Griffin, which either way, both are outstanding so far. So, I mean, right now, if you were voting for Rookie of the Year, who do you take, Wall or Griffin?
I mean, it's early, but it's John Wall. I mean, poor Blake Griffin doesn't even have a point guard out there to give him the ball right now. You know what? He's a one-man show out there. I know he has Aminu out there with him. They got Bledsoe running point guard. Baron Davis is too fat to do anything. He doesn't even play. So, I mean, you got to give it to John Wall. I mean, and hopefully John Wall gets back on his foot or feet and he goes out there and continues to kill it.
You know, right now I would agree with you because I got some stats here. John Wall averaging 18 points, basically 10 assists and 3.3 steals per game. So, I mean, those right there, amazing numbers, and he's a rookie to think of that. So
that guy is putting up all-star numbers, and he hasn't played more than 10 games, you know? So that says everything about him right there.
Yeah, the thing is, even with those numbers, as a rookie, he's probably not even top 5 point guard in the league. It really shows how deep the NBA is and exciting at the point guard position.
Yeah, this guy hasn't played hundreds of games like a Rondo, or he hasn't approached the number of games that a guy like Rose has played. He hasn't played estimated 10 games, so he has nowhere to go but up. He has nowhere to improve, or he can't.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the sky's the limit for him, so I mean, it's kind of scary where that could go, but
yep.
All right, so, you know, Kevin Durant coming off, was the youngest scoring champ ever last year? And right now, Monte Ellis for the Golden State Warriors is actually looking like he could come away with the scoring championship this year. So what do you take on that? Who else do you see that you think might challenge Ellis and Durant for scoring title?
Well, I mean, it's the same thing every year. You know what? It wouldn't surprise me. Well, obviously, you got to drop a few names off there. Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, those guys are eating each other's numbers up. It'll probably come down to one of those two guys, especially in regards to Ellis. As much as Kevin Durant, we all know this guy's a scorer. He has an opportunity, and it's more imperative for him to share the ball with his teammates. He has solid guys around him who can contribute offensively. I mean, whether it's Russell Westbrook, or whether you're giving the ball to Harden, or dropping it low to Nenad Krstić for a jumper. I mean, Monte Ellis is the whole damn show out there with Steph Curry. I mean, those guys can just go out there and throw up 60 and call it a day. It's not like, you know, you're going to dump it down to Andres Biedrins for some post moves and say, here, man, do a dream shake and get us some points, you know? So it wouldn't surprise me if Ellis leads the league. He's going to have the most opportunities to put up points. He doesn't have to share the ball at all.
Yes, it's very true.
Yeah.
And I assume you saw Kevin Love's 30-30 game.
Oh, don't get me started on that guy, man. Kevin Love, that was watching that guy get 31 points and 31 rebounds is one of the worst things as a Knicks fan I've ever seen in my my short life here.
Yeah. You know, I saw Kevin Love talking about how he, you know, really studies positions to get in for rebounding and all that. So yeah. I think that game really showed, you know, the rebounding is actually an art in the NBA. So, I mean, that's good for the game, definitely.
It is. That guy is out there. I mean, so far this season, I don't know what his average is right now. I don't know if it's 16, 17, but this guy is like putting up Dennis Rodman rebound numbers. Nobody's done that since Rodman. I mean, I think Kevin Garnett was in the low teens one year, a few years, but I mean, that guy is making the use of actual hard work, and that's always a good thing to see in the NBA. I mean, when David Lee came in the NBA, also as a Knicks fan, I had to admire David Lee because he didn't just come in and become stagnant. This guy got better every single year. And I mean, a lot of people find it debatable whether or not he was an all-star, but the guy got better every year. And Kevin Love, I mean, he's going out there. I mean, he didn't look to be in the best shape. He doesn't look like the best athlete out there, but he makes the most of who he is and what he can contribute. So props to him for that, but I wish Charles Oakley was out there to kind of give that guy a shot in the ribs.
Yeah, yeah. As a Knicks fan, I bet you do.
Yep.
It's kind of inevitable right now, you know, Miami Heat. So let's talk about them for a second.
What's up?
And what are they? I think last time I saw, what were they, 5-4?
I don't know. I believe the Miami Heat picked up their sixth win. I think they're probably sitting at 6-4 right now.
Yeah, I'm looking at that. So, I mean, you know, early on, you got Bosch. James have to kind of mix in with Wade and the rest of the Heat.
Right.
So, you know, I think, you know, when it gets to mid-season, they'll kind of be in their groove. But who do you like to, let's say, Lakers or Heat in the championship, if it gets to that point?
If it gets to that point, I mean, as both teams are currently constructed, you got to go with the Lakers. I mean, the Lakers have the bodies. The Lakers are winners. The Lakers have played together for years. I mean, you got to go with the Lakers. I mean, I can't see the Miami Heat, especially having seen them now and the way they are right now. It's the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah, and Bynum, has he even played a game yet this year? He's been injured.
Bynum is probably not coming back until December. He'll come back for a few games. He'll probably get hurt again and probably won't come back again until the playoffs.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, either way, it's definitely a big weapon.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. I mean, they have big bodies, and he's the biggest one of them all. So, you know what, when it comes down to the NBA, when you have guys like Shaq missing games and Jermaine O'Neal missing games, you know what? That's all fine and good. I mean, teams like the Celtics and the Lakers, they're going to do fine in the regular season. They're going to go to the playoffs. It's not going to matter until they get to the playoffs, and that's what they're paying these huge guys for.
Yeah, definitely. Well, the player I've come to most respect so far this year is Chris Paul for the Hornets. Talking about them, they're sitting 8-1. No one saw that coming, not even the experts. So, trade rumors everywhere you look during the offseason. You know, he didn't complain at all. He just went out, made his teammates better, did everything he needed to put the Hornets in the position to win. And here they are sitting at 8-1, tied with the Spurs. And, you know, no one saw that coming right now. They're in the driver's seat for the playoffs.
Right. Well, I mean, I see that as right now, I don't think they're going to maintain this same type of pace. I mean, listen, I really think, you know, you have Chris Paul out there. I think Emeka Okafor is really helping to drive the ship out there. I mean, Peja Stojakovic, to me, it's just like, okay, well, how long before this guy gets hurt? I mean, so I don't see him lasting that long. I'm not going to say they're going to dip out. I don't know. Maybe they finish at 500 with their start, but, I mean, they don't really do it for me.
I mean, in the division they're in, right now in the Western Conference, you kind of have, you know, Lakers, Mavericks, Spurs, you know, those the three usual teams sitting at the top, and then the bottom, it's kind of just, you know, everyone else is there. It's either you're really good or pretty bad right now. So, I mean, if they even keep it up just a little bit, I think they definitely have a good shot at the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, every team outside of those teams that you mentioned, the Western Conference is real muddled, you know, but once you get into playoffs, it's not particularly going to matter. Let's throw the Hornets in there right now against the Lakers and see what happens. I mean, everybody underneath the Lakers is basically, okay, we'll go out there and fight it out, and let's see what the hell happens.
Yeah, I mean, there's really no weakness the Lakers have to be beat right now everywhere you look, so that would be tough. All right, well, thanks for coming on. This was great.
It's no problem, Colin. I mean, anytime you need a hand, let's go. I'm right here, buddy.